So a lot to recap from the fight world, from UFC 309, where John Jones once again asserts his dominance in the UFC octagon with what he was able to do with Stipe Miocic. So let's spend a few minutes talking about all the fights that we saw on Friday and Saturday with Dean Thomas, who is kind enough to join us right now. Dean, how you been, my friend?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Let's start off with John Jones. That spinning back kick, I'm not going to lie. So I was on the bridge at Madison Square Garden, and when I first saw it and they called the fight, I'm like, wait, hold on. Now, I thought that was a quick stoppage, but then when you see the replay and you see the way the body moves, thank God that they called that fight because that was so impressive from John Jones.
Yeah, I mean, John Jones, that is one of his signature kicks. So let's not make no mistake about that. He's been throwing that kick for a long time. It happened to hit Stipe right where it counted, right in the rib cage. If it hit him, he thought he hit him in the liver. It hit him actually on the other side, but it was still in the rib cage. And Stipe folded. It's not a quick stoppage. I mean, Stipe would have probably wanted to get out of there anyway. I'm pretty sure he was happy that they stopped it when they did.
Now, here's the big thing with John Jones and his future. I think this is just a negotiation ploy right now. You mentioned Pereira, right? A lot of people would love to see the Pereira fight. The fight to be made, though, and Dana said it, is Tom Aspinall. I think why he keeps on bringing up Pereira is you're trying to negotiate a little bit here, and then eventually he will fight Tom Aspinall. Is that how you think this goes down?
I think so, but it's all going to be determined on what John does in these next couple of months, because it's inevitable if he stays at heavyweight that he has to fight Tom Aspinall. He did mention that he would be willing to give up the belt to do a super fight against Alex Pereira. And I don't even think it would be a super fight. I think he could literally drop down to 1 or 205 and fight Alex Pereira for the belt. But he said he wanted to do it for the BMF belt. I don't think the UFC is interested in that. I think that UFC is interested in doing a heavyweight championship between Tom Aspinall and John Jones. Now, if John Jones is willing to give up the belt and go back down, that's one thing. But if he intends to stay at heavyweight, he's not bringing up Alex Pereira. He's not going to do any other fight other than Tom Aspinall. So this could be a negotiation tactic, or it could be true. Maybe, just maybe, John Jones is ducking Tom Aspinall.
Is that how you perceive that to be? Do you think that latter is the actual truth here, that he's just ducking him?
You know, that's what a lot of people think. I think, again, it's going to come down to these next couple of months and whether John Jones wants to stay at heavyweight. If he doesn't want to stay at heavyweight, then he's definitely ducking him. But, again, John Jones is the GOAT for a reason. John Jones is taking on all challengers, and I think he really, truly believes in himself. Then after that signature win that we saw on Saturday night, there's no reason to believe that he's ducking anybody. So it could be just a negotiation tactic. However, if it is a negotiation tactic, rumor has it, and I saw somewhere online, this is just pure speculation, and this number could be totally fabricated, that he made about $15 million. Now, if that's not enough to fight somebody, like, I don't know what his number would be to fight Tom Aspinall and why it'd be a negotiation tactic. If he made $15 million to fight Stipe Miocic, what is he? I don't know. What does he want, $100 million to fight Tom Aspinall? Maybe that's the case, but there's no other reason why. Like, I'll fight anybody for $15 million. So I don't know what the negotiation tactic would be to try to get a Tom Aspinall fight.
I know it's just so – we don't even know when the fight would be. We don't even know the fight's going to happen. Who would you lean towards early, though, if we did get to see Tom Aspinall up against John Jones?
Tom Aspinall. And there was nothing that John did on Saturday night to make me think otherwise. Prior to that performance, I thought Tom Aspinall was the better fighter. After that performance, I'm even more convinced that Tom Aspinall is the better fighter. John Jones is the greatest, and he always shows up. He always performs. But let's not – let's make no mistake about it. Stipe was 42 years old, and he looked at the moment he stepped out there. John Jones handled him. He took care of him like he should have. But there was nothing that I saw in John Jones's performance that makes me believe that he could beat Tom Aspinall. Tom is just younger. He's faster. I think he's more skilled, and he's hungry. I don't think John Jones could beat Tom Aspinall. And I'm not just leaning towards Tom. I'm heavily favoring Tom in a fight between him and John Jones.
So does that mean then Tom Aspinall is the best pound-for-pound fighter on the planet? Because we know Dana would always say it's John Jones.
Well, you know, I think we oftentimes confuse pound-for-pound with the greatest of all time. Like, John Jones is the GOAT. His resume speaks for itself. 15 title defenses. No one has even come close to that. So he is the GOAT, but that doesn't mean he's currently the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. In fact, I don't even think Tom is. I think that would... that title would probably go to Islam Makhachev or Ilya Topuria, and then Tom coming in at third. But you know, Dana likes to sell John Jones as the GOAT and the pound for pound fighter. I think that's a marketing tool to make sure that John Jones showed up in Madison Square Garden and actually fought.
So let me just ask you this then, Dean Thomas. Like, because you think it's going to be clear that Aspinall defeats John Jones. John Jones would defeat Alex Pereira, in your opinion, or with what, how Alex just keeps climbing up? How do you think that goes? Yeah.
No, I do think John Jones could beat Alex. Based on what I saw Saturday night, I still believe that he could beat Alex. He didn't look like he didn't. You know, these guys, when they're younger, they're savages. And Alex isn't that young, though. So Alex and John Jones are about the same age. But I do think, based on John Jones' skill set, I do think that he could beat Alex. I think it would be a little closer than I originally thought. But I do still think that John Jones beats Alex Pereira.
Which fight would you rather see, though?
Personally, I would rather see the Alex Pereira fight because I think it would be closer. And based on what John has done in his career, listen, there's this contingency of MMA experts that believe that MMA fighters have to go out on a loss. And they want to, oh, he didn't give us everything. I don't know where this comes from.
You know, that's kind of stupid because, like, in the NFL, right, how many times do we talk about, oh, this guy should ride off into the sunset with the championship? Not that way, though, in MMA.
No, they don't do that. They want our heroes to be carried out on a stretcher in their last fight and to pass the torch. I don't believe you have to pass the torch. I love what John Jones did in his career. He's done enough. He just beat the greatest heavyweight of all time. Allow this man to live his life. I don't want to see him go out on a stretcher to Tom Aspinall. I'd like to see him fight Alex Pereira. If Alex beats him, all right, at least it was a fair fight. If he goes out and fights Tom Aspinall, I don't consider that a fair fight. I think Tom is just too good right now. I don't believe that John Jones owes it to us as fans to go out on a loss to Tom Aspinall.
Wrap it up with Dean Thomas. So we saw Charles get the victory up against Michael Chandler. Chandler, yeah, the back of the headshots I didn't love, but then he put on a little bit of a show at the end, having some fun in the last few seconds of that fight. When I look at Chandler, the whole thing's like just kind of sad to me because he waited all that time for Conor McGregor. I never thought McGregor was coming on back. And then you get back in and it's another loss for him. How about that fight?
You know, Chandler has given us what I think he's very capable of giving us, and that's entertainment.
Yeah.
Chandler's not a championship fighter. He's not a championship UFC level fighter. And that is to be able to win a championship and hold on to that consistently. I don't believe that Chandler was built for that. I think Chandler is built for exactly what he's given us. That is a lot of fun fights and a lot of hope. Like, he's given us hope as fans. Like, he's always showed up. He's always gave us the greatest sound bites. He's always made us smile. And I think that Chandler is better than one who became champion and then possibly, I don't know, these guys, when they become champions, they start wearing sunglasses in the club and they turn on us. And I think Chandler is better off not being a champion and being a stand-up guy who always gives us positivity.
McGregor's never going to fight him, right? I know he called him out afterwards.
McGregor's got so many legal troubles, I think he's going to be fighting in court for a while. So I don't see McGregor coming back, maybe ever. I don't know if he ever comes back. And the way he conducts himself and the way I think that the MMA needs to go, and particularly the UFC, I think we're better off without him at this point. You know, he was great for what he's done, but I think the UFC is better off without Conor McGregor.
And even if they schedule a fight, as a consumer of the product, and I'm not like a hardcore UFC guy, but I've enjoyed the sport a lot the last 4 or 5 years, and I keep on watching more and more and more. They could schedule a fight. To me, that means nothing until I actually see him walk into the octagon when they say, okay, let's go. Here's the main event. I just never anticipate him actually fighting again, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's going to do a lot of talking on the internet, on Twitter. He's a champion, and he's got his fans and people who are always going to believe in him, perhaps. But I just don't like his behavior or what he's done these last couple of years. And there's only so much and only so many times you can forgive somebody.
Yeah.
And we've been giving him the benefit of the doubt year after year after year. And what he did to Michael Chandler as a fighter is just criminal. To dangle that carrot in front of this man for 2 years was just, it's despicable. And I'll never forgive him for that.
On the way out with Dean Thomas. So I talked to Dana White after the fight, the Bo Nickel fight too against Paul Craig. And I'm like, what did you make of the fans' reaction? Even when he won, they were booing him and they were chanting overrated. And he said, hey, Bo, he dominated the fight. You know, Paul looks a lot bigger than him. He even shared a conversation he had with President Trump, where President Trump said these guys are in the same weight class. But then he didn't dance around the topic. He said Bo's got a lot of work to do. And Bo knows he has a lot of work to do. What do you think the fighting future is of Bo Nickel with what you saw on Saturday night?
So Bo can be really good. Bo just has to make sure he continues to keep learning. He stays in camp, and he's got to make sure that he's around a lot of smart people that is going to teach him how to fight and teach him how to be a good fighter. And I don't like Bo's excuse of, oh, well, I only have six fights. Well, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't be where you are then, right? Like, if you only have six fights, maybe you should have been back on the contender series. Maybe you should be on some prelims. Maybe you should have cut your teeth in the regional circuit a little bit, but you can't get these opportunities and then start complaining about you don't have enough experience. Because one thing that I do know is he's got more competition experience than almost anybody in the UFC. And that is, he's a Hodge winner in wrestling. He's a multiple national champion. He's got so much wrestling experience, and that counts. That actually does count, because I've watched fighters Saturday night absolutely freeze in front of the Madison Square Garden crowd. Mauricio Hufi is the best fighter that fought on Saturday night, and he froze up because of the lack of competition experience under them circumstances. Bo Nickel doesn't do that. Bo Nickel has that experience. So him talking about only six fights, I'm throwing that out the window.
All right, I got to ask you about Tyson and Paul. I wasn't expecting much. I thought Jake Paul was going to win. What were your thoughts on what you got to see on Friday?
You know what? Prior to the fight, I was saying, I don't know how Jake Paul's going to knock this man out and then look into a camera and explain himself.
Yeah.
Thank God he carried Tyson throughout that fight, because that was the best possible scenario for him. If he lost the fight, he would have been a complete joke. He won the fight. He's still a complete joke to most people. But I blame the old school boxing guys for this. All the old school boxing guys who co-signed on this, who said, oh, Tyson, if he hits him one time, he's going to go down. No, it's those guys who co-signed on this that allowed this to happen in the first place. I don't expect regular fans to believe it, but all the old school boxing guys who co-signed on this, shame on you for allowing this to happen.
And you know that it wouldn't be a night for boxing without a controversial decision. How about the Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor fight?
Well, you know, Amanda Serrano knew what she was getting into, right? She knew that she was going to be dealing with somebody who's aggressive, who charges in like a bull, who headbutts. She should have known better, and they should have been prepared for that. And obviously, they could have done things maybe differently in training to prepare for that, to maybe win a little easier. They didn't do it. So, and this is her second time fighting her. There's enough film study on Katie Taylor to know that that's how she fights. This is her second time fighting her. She should have known better and what she was getting into, and maybe did something a little bit differently in camp to lengthen that lead.
Dean Thomas, always enjoy your coverage and your work for the UFC. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this.
I appreciate you, man. Anytime.